Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
UCLA is a university with unlimited possibilities for students that desire world-class academics and research, unmatched diversity, incredible cultural and social opportunities, successful alumni and career networking, first-class campus facilities, plus America's top intercollegiate sports teams. Located in Westwood, just a few miles from the Pacific Ocean, UCLA's one-square-mile campus is surrounded by famous cities such as Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Brentwood, and Santa Monica.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. My name is Dave Marcus, joined as always by Naomi Manea. We have a very interesting show for you this time. It's getting toward the end of the fall athletic season, and we've got a couple of sports that are literally heading into the home stretch. We'll visit with cross country in just a moment.
Before we meet our first guest, let's take a look at this week's upcoming events.
And welcome back to Bruin Talk. Forrest Braden is in his second year coaching at UCLA cross country. He was a great runner himself up at Boise State, served as a volunteer at Gonzaga, but he came south, and we are getting down toward the stretch, aren't we, Forrest?
Yep, two races left. Postseason times, we're excited.
Your postseason championships, first you have Pac-10s, but then Terre Haute, Indiana is always the site of the finals, and your runners had a chance, at least half the team, had a chance to go back there and run. How important is it to kind of get a feel for the course?
It's important. You know, cross country, it's not on a track. It's not just 400 meters around. So you've got hills, you've got turns. It's important to know what you're running on, the surface you're running on. So it's nice just to get the feel for that course. And now when they go back there in 3 weeks, they'll know what to expect and be ready for it.
And, of course, the weather could be a lot different than Southern California.
It'll definitely be different than Southern California. You never know. You know, that time of year in Indiana, it could be 30 degrees or it could be 55 degrees. It could be rainy. It could be incredibly muddy. Maybe a little snow. You never know. So you just got to be prepared for everything. We'll dress warm. We'll bring all our warm stuff and, hope for the best weather-wise, but we'll be ready no matter what.
Before we talk a little bit about Pac-10s and more of the postseason stuff, let's talk a little bit about the Titan Invitational that the men came out with a championship title from that. Can you tell us about that experience a little bit?
It was a great experience, a great race. We had a lot of young guys racing. We held out our Pac-10 squad. So it was a smaller group of our runners racing and a lot of young guys. We had a big middle distance contingent there, and they ran well. They got after it, set some PRs for over 8K, and really competed well. So we were very pleased with the performances and just how that meet went.
Moving on to Pac-10s, can you tell us a little bit about the competition that you faced there, and maybe who was your biggest competition?
Yeah, I mean the Pac-10 championships. Like almost every sport, you know, it's one of the premier conferences in the country. The distance, cross country is no different. It's, the number one team in the country is the Stanford Cardinal on the men's side. Number three team in the country is the Oregon Ducks. And Cal is currently ranked number 22. And then we're right in there. just outside of receiving votes. We'd beaten Cal earlier in the year. We felt pretty confident we could get in there and take him down again. We ended up fourth. We didn't have our number one runner throughout the regular season, so that hurt us. But the guys ran well. We had guys stepping up. Anytime, you know, as a coach or an athlete, you're never completely satisfied. But on the men's side, you know, we got in there, we ran tough, and pretty pleased with the performance. We've got more in us for regionals, and we're definitely gonna, we're gonna bring it and hopefully have an even better performance at regionals. And on the women's side, we were ranked seventh going in. We were seventh last year, and we were 10th previous 2 years before that. So jumping up and getting sixth and beating a very good Arizona State squad and being fairly close to Cal really showed something. And the young ladies, we had a freshman-heavy team. We had seven freshmen on the team, two seniors and a sophomore. And they just stepped up. They ran well. They ran the best they've run all season, and just keep that momentum going into regionals and hopefully finish in the top five in the region and get a bid for nationals on the women's side as well.
Well, let's talk about a couple of your seniors. You've got Shannon Murakami on the women's side, Jake Matthews on the men's side. How important is it to have senior leadership in cross country?
Oh, it's definitely important. As it is in any sport, really. You know, you have that leadership. You have just young men and women that you can count on. You know, I know that, you know, jumping in that race, you know, Shannon's going to be there every time. And Jake is actually, this is Jake's first time as the, you know, running as the number one runner in his career here. He's a fifth-year senior. He's just always been a solid guy, and he's just brought it to a new level the last couple weeks. It's his last couple weeks of his, you know, his cross-country career here. So I know he's going to make the most of it. Regionals is a 10K. He's fired up. He's ready to run. It's important to have that, just that fire and that leadership up front.
I've always called cross country basically the purest sport there is. You're out there running in a field and over logs and rocks and whatever happens to be in your way. Small cars. You never know what's going to be out there. What's the training regimen like for a cross country runner?
I mean, we put in a lot of miles. Depending on who the athletes are. I mean, the high end group was putting in 100 miles a week. Consistently over the summer and in the early part of fall. A lot of, 10-mile runs, a long run every week, which is anywhere from 14 to 18 miles, and then two hard workouts a week. So maybe like this morning, we actually did 20 times 400 meters and just repeats and just at a faster pace, a lot of maybe mile repeats, five times a mile.
Working on the track?
Well, we usually actually stay off the track. We usually go to the IM field, go to parks around the area, Spalding Field, and work around the outside. Just for cross country, it's nice to stay off the track and run on the same surface that you're going to run on in cross country, because you're never on just a flat surface in cross. And we definitely train that way as well.
So we talked about how important the senior leadership role is, but you also mentioned that you have a lot of freshmen, especially on the women's side. Can you tell us a little bit about how that changes team dynamics and what the upperclassmen need to do to get those freshmen where they need to be?
Yeah, I mean, the freshmen look at the seniors, you know, they see what they're doing. They see what they're doing to have success, and they emulate that the seniors and the leaders. It's nice to have those, that young class. They're getting the experience. Every race gets a little bit better for them. You know, the first race of the season, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, just seeing where they've come from there up until the Pac-10 championships is just huge. You need that experience. You're running against the caliber of athletes is way up here. You know, high school is it's a whole different game. The distance has changed. In high school, it's a 5K for men and women. College races are 6K for women and 8K and 10K for men, so it's quite a jump up, really. And it's just the freshmen, you know, it's just that experience. Every race, you can see them getting better, see them getting stronger, and which is exciting to see and exciting to know that for the next 4 years, you know, we're going to have young ladies who have been at the big meets and who have that experience. And you know, we're excited about this year, you know, finishing off this year strong, but also the next 3, 4, 5 years.
We mentioned what an outstanding athlete you were as a student, a great runner, and now you're in coaching. Tell us about the experience of coaching after competing in the sport.
I mean, it's obviously different. you know, sometimes I just want to get out there and jump in the races and jump, you know, just you still have that desire to compete and to run. And I'm a very competitive person.
Where are you during the races?
I'm cross country races. I'm all over. I'm watching about 200 meters from the start line. You know, at the start of the race, kind of a little bit of pep talk, talking to the individual athletes, getting them ready to go. And then when the gun goes off, I'm about 400 meters up the line, kind of, you know, yelling at them, giving them maybe some encouragement, instructions. There's not a lot I can do, but definitely, you know, letting them know, you know, move up maybe, or stay tough, eyes up, stay strong. You know, you're our number five guy, keep rolling. And then from there, I'm all over, zigzagging. You know, the course might be, you know, every course is different, and I'm just zigzagging from one point to the other, trying to get as much as I can and watch as much of the race as I can.
So you've got to be a great cross-country runner just to coach.
Yeah, it's the only sport where the participants get a workout in as well as watch a great sporting event.
Now, I got to ask you. I know you've been asked this a million times. How many times in your life have you heard somebody yell, "Run, Forrest"?
I knew where you're going with that. What you were saying. All the time. You know, that movie came out in 93 or 94. And so when I was a young kid, you know, before I was even a runner, really, I was getting that. And then obviously as I moved up and actually, you know, joined the cross country teams, and it was quite a bit. I don't mind. I kind of like it now.
Well, yeah, it helps you stand out.
Yeah.
With regionals around the corner, who are some of the most important runners on both the men and the women's side?
I mean, really, you need all, you know, we got seven runners racing. You need all seven. Five score. So obviously your top five are, you know, you need your top five to be money, to be on. But then six and seven are there, displacing runners from other teams. You know, just that if number five's having a bad day, number six, number seven, they have to step up. So we really need, you know, we really do need every single person to, you know, at regionals, bring it and really get after it. The men's team, the parity is so great. I mean, there's from one to seven there's really not a lot of difference. They're so deep. We've got a great team. The seventh runner could be our number two runner on any given day. The sixth runner could be our number two runner on any given day. So really, every single person matters.
Your squad's been very good about posting their thoughts on the UCLA Bruins website, UCLABruins.com, and a lot of posts, a lot of interesting insights from the athletes on the team. As a coach, do you get concerned about them posting strategy?
I've read what they've written and you know it's good. You know, maybe if they had a detailed account of every single possible thing that we did, you know, that might be getting a little bit carried away. But no, it's all right. It's good.
A lot of team bonding, but also an individual sport. Last year, two of your athletes made it to the NCAA championships. How do you balance coaching the individuals versus coaching the team?
Well, you know, our goal last year was, you know, to qualify as a team. We're just on the outside, you know, looking in last year. But on the men's side, Marco and Zuris ran phenomenal at the regional meet, and he'd really started to step up the last month of the season. And he just wanted it. He knew that if he took care of business and did what he had to do, then he was going to be all right, and he was going to make it. And by him making it, obviously, it helps our team. And then Shannon, kind of the same thing. She'd been really rolling from the beginning of the season. That was her goal, to qualify for nationals. And on the women's side, we weren't quite as strong. It was kind of a building year last year, and so really she knew she had to just be on it and to qualify for the meet. So it's, you know, you definitely coach the individuals, but you coach them in a team setting. So it's not, you know, it's not a huge difference. The workouts are still the same for those top guys as it is for the second group.
Coach, your passion for the sport is evident. Best of luck to you and the Bruins as the championship season approaches.
Thank you. We're excited.
Cross country, you can follow all their exploits on UCLABruins.com. We'll come back and meet our athlete of the week right after this public service announcement on UCLA Bruin Talk.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. Before we meet our next guest, let's take a look at this week's Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Rachel Kidder of the women's volleyball team as our Student Athlete of the Week. Rachel led the Bruins to two weekend victories against Washington and Washington State. Rachel contributed the most kills in each game, surpassing the 20-kill mark for the third time this season against Washington. She also teamed with Katie Camp for a pivotal combo block to set the momentum for the third set against the Cougars, in which the Bruin advantage never dipped below 4 points. In another recent win against first-ranked Stanford, Rachel also contributed 7 of the 10 kills in the game's deciding fifth set. Congratulations, Rachel, and good luck to the rest of the team. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at www.uclabruins.com.
And we're very pleased on UCLA Bruin Talk to welcome UCLA soccer head coach Jillian Ellis back to the show. She has simply been known as one of the best in the business in her 12 years at UCLA, 8 trips to the College Cup, including 7 in a row. And Coach, it's getting to be that time of year again. It's crunch time for soccer. Yep. Interesting time for you.
Certainly. It's been a season that's been a different path for us. We are a younger team. We've taken a few losses this year. But as I say to the players, once you get to the postseason, it's a brand new season. So, we're excited. We've got a big weekend this weekend and hopefully finish up strong.
The Bruins have 2 more Pac-10 contests and then the tournament starts. The road to the College Cup has always gone through Westwood. This year you might not get the opportunity to play all your games at home.
That's true. I mean, a lot of it depends on seeding and RPI. And, this year I'm not exactly sure where we fall out, but at the end of the day, it's the match in front of you is the most important thing. I mean, we obviously enjoy playing at home, but with this group, we have to be prepared to win anywhere. And I think they're locked onto that.
The standards are so impossibly high. For you, for UCLA, you talk about losses. A lot of teams in the country would be envious of the Bruins' record. And the losses have been those kind that are frustrating, where you're attacking and just not getting that finishing goal, and then the other team scores. It's been that kind of a year, but the losses have been really close.
Well, it's true. We've been in every game. And I think for us, we need to almost play error-free. And I think, we've made some mistakes and we get punished. I mean, I thought, last weekend we played Washington, played very well, had some good chances, and a mistake cost us. But that's the sign of, a younger team. I mean, we've got 3 brand new players in our back line from last year. We graduated 3 back. So you're always going to have, periods of adjustment. But, I think I told the players, believe in the process, believe in how we're playing, and at some point, hopefully, it'll pay dividends.
It's a young team this year, but you definitely have had a strong season, started off the season incredibly. And like we mentioned, even in the games that didn't come out as positively, the Bruins dominated in possession and shots and many other things. I've had the privilege of being there myself. So can you please tell us what you think the biggest strengths of the team are?
Certainly. I mean, we've got very technical players, and that gives us the ability to possess the ball. In soccer, if you have the ball, you have a chance, and so that's a big piece of it. I mean, where we need to get better is in our execution in the final third, the attacking third of the game. But I think our strengths is our talent, our players. Their creativity, and at this point, I mean, if we have all players on the field maximizing their potential on game day, then I think we can beat anyone in the country, and I still feel that way. So, it's trial and error this year a little bit, but consistency is what we're striving for at this point.
With such a young back line, you had to move Lauren Barnes, one of the seniors, back for most of the year. She got a move up to midfield and scored a goal on senior day that got you off to a 2-0 win over Washington State. Let's talk about what Lauren Barnes has meant to the team this year.
She's probably been one of our best players we've ever had here. I mean, she's an incredibly technical, smart, savvy soccer player. And she can play anywhere. And honestly, she's such an attacking player from a defensive position that we're like, why not? Let's roll the dice and stick her up front. And lo and behold, she scores a goal. So, master move, right? But she's a leader. She's a very, very consistent player. and she's our free kick specialist. So on dead balls, she's great at scoring and creating chances off free kicks.
And of course, you have a gifted forward and midfielder, Sydney LaRue, who has been. Other teams have tried to throw a blanket over her. I'm sure that opens up other opportunities for you.
Yeah, I mean, Sid garners a lot of attention. I mean, she's a pacey forward, and she's known as a goal scorer. So she does. She accommodates a lot of the defenders. But, she's a player that we really need to keep as high as possible and get her in the 18-yard box. So when service comes in, she's on the end of it. But, we have had different players score goals. Jenna Richmond, a freshman, has scored some goals this year from a midfield position. So that's encouraging for us.
Earlier this season in the game against USC, there was a record attendance in the regular season. How does the crowd affect the players?
I think it's great. I mean, even though we played over at their place, it's the energy and the excitement of playing in front of such a large number of people is, I think it's, it's good. It's good for our game, and it's, it's exciting for the players. I mean, sure, we'd like to generate that kind of attendance here, get people out to come and watch, a really good team play. But I think it helps with just the overall energy of a match.
I had the great pleasure of calling the play-by-play of that match, and it was physical. That was as much as a rivalry game ever has been.
Yeah, always. I tell the players, you got to put your helmet on and roll up your sleeves for this one. They're a big, strong, physical team, and you have to match that. You have to match the intensity. So, there's no love lost there for sure.
Coach, we talked about your coaching resume coming to UCLA 12 years ago and really regarded as one of the best in the business. You were an assistant on the U.S. gold medal winning team in Beijing. You've also coached a head coach of the under-19s. Tell us about coaching the college players and the elite players, how your coaching philosophy accommodates both styles.
That's a good question. I mean, I certainly try to be more patient. When you're dealing with the women's national team, it's the best of the best, and they're older and they're more experienced, and so things certainly come easier for them. But you still need to coach them. With the players here, sometimes it's about painting pictures a little bit more and showing them more ideas. And I think when you go in with the women's team, you just kind of roll the ball out. To a certain extent, you want some sort of organization, but they're a free-flowing group, and here it's a little bit more direction. But I mean, I love coaching the college athletes because you get an opportunity, one, to see them grow as people over a four-year period. You see them grow as soccer players. So I think that personal connection and investment is very big in the college side.
It's a long season. You started back before all the students got onto campus, and you're hoping to lead to Cary, North Carolina once again for the
yep.
finals of the College Cup. How have you measured the growth of this team? Not necessarily by wins and losses, but just the growth in how they're receiving your message and how the team is playing.
I think Sunday was kind of the catalyst, and we thought we played very well. But, I mean, the things that Natalia Ledesma, she came into preseason and was hurt and probably was 5 weeks behind. Well, now she's starting for us, and she's doing a great job. So we've seen growth in just individual players throughout the season. Players like Zakiya Bywaters can play any role. I think she's become a lot more versatile in her play. Chelsea Klein has come along. So these players, I think, as the season progresses, some of it is just natural fitness gets better, and some of it is just understanding chemistry on the field. We've played a lot of players this year, and I'm hoping that will pay off in the postseason.
Speaking of fitness, what is the training like at this point in the season?
We keep it fairly short. I mean, they've been going for quite a while now. So, I mean, our training sessions rarely exceed an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes, because it is about quality, not quantity at this point. Understanding that they're in midterms, they've got other things going on that they have to deal with. Usually on a Tuesday, it's a pretty intensive training session. As the week progresses, we start to taper a little bit, and, tomorrow is just going to be a light technical session before we get on the plane.
In most sports, by the time you get to tournament time, people are playing hurt. I mean, they're not injured, they're not out, but they're playing hurt. What's the key for a player to maximize their performance when they have those nagging injuries?
Well, part of it is being diligent in the training room and getting the treatment that they need. Our players, we want them to be professional and to try and take care of their bodies. So part of it is nutrition, part of it is rehab. The other part of it is mental strength. If it's an injury that they just kind of have to push through, at this point we can't take our foot off the gas. I mean, obviously, as long as it's not something that's debilitating or going to cause more problems, sometimes they have to play through a little bit. But the kids recognize that at this point. And, you know, we've been fairly good in monitoring the minutes that players play so that we don't, you know, if a player's played an extensive lot of time on the weekend, usually their training on Tuesday will be a little less than perhaps some other players haven't played as many minutes. And that's kind of how you keep track of keeping fresh legs.
You know, you talk about players coming back from injury. On the men's side, David Beckham, torn Achilles, and he's back and he's contributing.
Yep.
Do your players keep tabs on what's happening in other professional leagues, in men's leagues, in leagues all over the world?
A lot of them do. I mean, I think a lot of them enjoy watching high-level soccer and you know, the English Premier League and MLS, these types of environments they like to watch. You know, our women's national team are in qualifying right now in Mexico. So watching the game is a big part of, I think, your development. But yeah, I mean, I think our players, their focus is probably 90% of it is their studies. And so they don't have a whole lot of time to have free time to go watch a lot of soccer. But, you know, we encourage them to, and we obviously show them games as well.
Your dad, John, was a legendary soccer coach, and you began as an assistant on the East Coast. You've been in California now 12 years. Totally
yeah.
A California?
Absolutely, no. Dude. Yeah, no, I love it out here. My mom and dad actually were just out for a while, and you know, if they could afford it, I think they'd move here. But, yeah, I mean, I very much feel a part of this coast, and I love Los Angeles.
Tell us about the experience of coaching. How has that helped you grow as a person?
You know, I kind of got thrown into it young. I didn't honestly want to be a coach when I started out. My dad was a coach, and I really didn't want to follow in the footsteps. But I think coaching embraced me and kind of took a hold of me, and I think it's just helped me so many ways. I mean, it's allowed me to come and work in a beautiful place like this. It's allowed me to travel the world. You know, soccer's been so generous. And then the ultimate thing is the friendships and the people you meet.
What are the most memorable moments of this season up to this point for you?
Lou Barnes, I mean, senior day was great. I know it's a recent memory, but it was just, it was great to get the win. It was great to, you know, have Lou play so well. And every senior got on the field, which was great. Some other memories, I mean, we went to Wisconsin. One of our assistant coach, my BJ, his wife's family was there. We got to have a picnic and did some things away from soccer. Preseason was fun. You know, we got to do different things. I mean, last week we went to see the movie Secretariat. We try and do a lot of things outside of soccer so that, you know, you build that bond, just not on the field.
Well, Coach, we thank you for coming in. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and we obviously wish you the best of luck at this time of the season. So
perfect.
Good luck to you and
thanks,
the Bruins.
Guys.
And
thank you.
Can follow what's going on with Bruins soccer by checking out the website at UCLABruins.com. That's going to do it for this edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. We are so glad you joined us. Naomi and I will be back next time for another great show. Until then, so long for now.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.